Hi, and welcome to Why Did You Make Me Watch That? With me, Holly Frew.
And me, Ronan Warfield.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
We're recording this a little bit later than normal this week, so apologies for all our avid listeners.
Yes, it was a mutual sickness, mutually separate sicknesses that had us.
Yeah, not recording.
I got a vomiting bug from the kids, and you had alcohol poisoning, I think, was it? No?
Yes. In fact, no. Why do you always say that I'm like either dying of alcohol or like hungoverness? And it's rarely that. Sometimes, yeah. But it's, like, it's, rarely.
It's only 50% that time, you know? So.
Yeah. It could be opium. It could be, I don't know, hypervitaminosis, which is now a thing because people are taking too many vitamins. You know?
There you go. This is the world we live in.
Just, you know? Endless possibilities of illnesses. But yeah, so how's your week been? Mental.
It's been mental work-wise. As I said, I wasn't feeling very well for a good portion of last week and the weekend. But all over that now, thank God.
I heard something.
Nasty dose.
Yeah. I heard something about TV3 getting, or the Virgin Media, not TV3 anymore. Get me out of the jungle.
I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here.
Yes.
Yes.
That is coming back, isn't it?
Yeah, sure. That's a cornerstone of the Christmas calendar, I think, for Virgin Media. And yeah, I don't ITV. Think it's ITV, yeah. But it's set in that castle in Wales again, and that's just no fun.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I just don't get the appeal. Like, it's clearly a castle with, you know, very little actual danger.
Stuff. Yeah. And they're just,
whereas if they're in the jungle, they've got rain, they've got extreme heat, they've got all this sort of stuff. In this castle, they've got a bit of wind, but they're still clearly, you know, quite safe.
There's no planet. But then again, like, I think we kind of probably overhype their actual potential dangers in Australia too, because like it is, but you're right, the intense heat and the mugginess of that is like killer.
Yeah.
But like that in terms of like, they would be definitely like, you know, they would be safe enough in everything that they do, really. But, you know, for,
I know they're relatively safe in Australia, but yeah, I know they're relatively safe in Australia, but you know, I just,
you'd like to imagine, like, I mean, that
when you look at, they're not, yeah. No, but when you look at the castle one, like, yeah, when they're doing all their trials and stuff, then you can clearly see that they're on a set. Like, it's a set with fake rocks and everything. Like, you can see it's obvious. Yeah, yeah. So they've gone out of their way to sort of, you know, make the castle look more dangerous than it is, but it actually just makes it look a little faker. But anyway, I digress.
Yeah, with the like borders and stuff open. Oh, but I guess Australia only opened them now. So
Australia, they only opened them in,
and they would be weeks, so. they would be probably working on this show for the last like 2 or 3 months, probably setting it up.
Yeah, apparently when they're in Australia, they're setting up months in advance.
Yeah,
they're there since August, like.
Yeah, fair enough. I guess that's fair. Mm. Yeah, that's fine.
It is fair. We'll let them away with it this year. Next year, I want to see jungle-based antics.
Obviously,
kangaroo balls being eaten.
Wow, you know. Okay, yeah. And I think as well, just, you know, what Australia has that's scary is just in abundance in comparison to, like, the UK and Ireland. Because, like, this little spider. It's like, no, it's the most dangerous spider ever.
Yeah. This little tiny,
water snake.
Little water snake that can wrap around your baby finger can also, you know, extend his jaws and eat you whole. You know, it's just, it's ridiculous. Like, you know.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's just, everything wants to kill you. It's great fun.
In the end of the day, I'll probably watch it a little bit.
Yeah, well, I'll have no choice, but, you know.
Yeah.
Just won't be as much fun as usual.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what about you? What about your week?
Yeah, lots of fun times. Yeah, just kind of try to get some projects done, which is extremely not interesting. I've won pretty much 99% done. And then I've got another one I haven't started yet. And then, yeah, just working away. And yeah, pretty much it.
Hmm. Very good. Very good. Very dedicated student you are.
Thank you.
Yeah, no tales of, oh, I'm not going to do that project. I'm going out in the rip because it's €3 points in tram cars.
Oh, like, I mean, I did.
Like every other shit does.
I did do that.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll go over the bank holiday and stuff. There was some drinking involved. Awesome. I'm not going to lie. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know. Yeah.
I'm a grown up.
That's you're a student, you know.
And I'm a grown up and a student. Yes. But yeah, no, it's good. It's good times. Okay, good. Sure. Will we rock and roll on with our choices?
We shall. We shall.
What did I don't
I
know.
Think I'm first this week.
Yeah, I think I went first the last time. So you go for it this time.
Hmm. Right. So this is the last of our scary movies. We know we're a few days late for Halloween because of illness, but we're going to wrap it up nonetheless.
But these, I guess, are movies that are, you can watch any time of the year, really.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. They're not particularly horror, scary films. I don't remember the choice, the other choice you gave me. So I'm just going to say the one that I got and watched was The Dead Don't Die.
Ah.
Yes. So this is a 2019 comedy horror, written and directed by Jim Jarmusch, who would be up to this point in my estimation like an indie filmmaker, very much indie, no studio films, no big blockbusters, nothing like that. Very much the sort of a filmmaker's filmmaker, very arty kind of guy, but. Because he's been in the industry for years, he's kind of amassed a reputation for doing these very small budget indie films with very large casts of well-known people. And this is much in that vein. His mates, basically, yeah. So his primary mate being Bill Murray, who is the star of this film. Also stars Adam Driver, Chloe Savini, Steve Buscemi, Tilda Swinton, Tom Waits, Danny Glover, Caleb Landry-Jones, Rosie Perez, Iggy Pop at one point. Selena Gomez, on and on. The list does go on, in fact. So basically, we're looking at a very much a stereotypical middle America town, which in fact is called Centerville. That pretty much nails the whole premise where everything is basically just a cliche of itself.
Yeah.
So the town, you know. Even though the population and the sign says 700 people, it has its own, you know, school, juvenile detention center, TV station, all this mad stuff that you wouldn't find in a small town like that. But it's all stereotyping this middle America town. Through all the news reports and stuff, we find out that some big energy company has been fracking in the North Pole and has thrown the Earth's access off. And this is causing all sorts of mad stuff to start happening daytime at night. And of course, the dead rising from their graves.
Because of this.
Because of this, yeah. Because of everything happening. And only happens at night, of course. And, you know, the moon is covered in this purple haze to show off the eeriness of what's going on. That's
pretty much super deadpan.
It's super deadpan. It's like, it's actually, and that's not a pun in the word, it is, you know, very deadpan humor, incredibly, like, you know, Deadpan's the best word for it. Like, but basically, Bill Murray and Adam Driver play two of the town's main sheriffs or cops. Chloe Savini plays the third. And all the other cast just fill out the town of stereotypes, essentially. Apart from Tilda Swinton, who is just a crazy person in it and has one of the craziest fucking stories I've ever seen in any film. But I was like, at the end of that, I was going, what? For Tilda Swinton's one. Anyway. So yeah, Iggy Pop plays a zombie, so no makeup necessary. Tom Waits plays this crazy woodlands drifter who is essentially just there in the background narrating the film to himself. And yeah, it's like super deadpan. It's like very odd film. Not particularly funny.
Yeah.
Like, it could have been a lot. It could have leaned into the funny a bit more. But it's more observational than anything in terms of the funny. And it definitely didn't lean into the whole genre that it looked like it was starting to take the piss out of, like, you know. And it's very odd at times as well. It breaks the fourth wall a couple of times. And as I said, there's a point at the end, near the end, where it just goes off the rails. So yeah, excuse me. COVID. It's an odd film. It's very what?
COVID.
Yeah, I got the big C, the other big C. No, it's just a very odd film. Yeah, it's just, yeah, I don't know. I didn't like this. It was just, what did you think of it?
I think I gave this to you kind of thinking, like, wonder what Ro would think. I watched it. It was one of those things that came on Netflix. And so I watched it like a while ago. But I remember thinking, like, it was interesting. There were a few laughs in there. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it's a full on comedy. And I think I liked it for just it being a little bit random and something different. And maybe I was watching like a lot of the same sort of thing. And it just kind of broke it up. And I think definitely having all of the characters played by those specific actors, because I am a bit, like, I'm a big fan of pretty much most of the cast.
The cast is solid. Like.
So I think I enjoyed it because I enjoy watching them. But I know what you mean. I think there are parts of this film that are just like almost sort of just for the sake of it, almost like, you know, Bill Murray and Adam Driver not speaking to each other for about a minute on screen. And it's just like, are we supposed to, you know, it's like, oh yeah, cool, I get it. But, you know, can we just sort of add something to this? Do you know, like, you can put a little bit of salt and pepper on it. Like, you don't have to kind of. You know, I understand your pacing.
I was watching it, like, and I was thinking, see, this is the kind of film that, like, film students would just, like, just go on and on about. It's like, oh my God, it's amazing. Because, you know, film students were trying to, like, you know, impress their mates by being all arty and, you know, watching films that aren't mainstream and all. I just watched it going, oh, back in the day, all those knobheads in film school would have loved this, like, you know. Because, you know, back then, my class was full of them.
Yeah.
When I was in college. And people who were just like, oh my God, it's so, you know, just people who would, like, love odd things just because they thought it meant they were being super intelligent about film, like, you know?
Yes.
And this film kind of reminded me of that, you know, people who, you know, love that kind of shit, like, you know? Not to say that it's, like, awful or anything. It's not awful. Yeah. It kept me watched till the end. Like, it's just odd, not particularly funny, and weird for the sake of being weird.
Yeah, that's definitely it. So, yeah, not your cup of tea at all.
Not particularly, no. Yeah, like I said, I had to lean into more of the funny because I mean, I'm looking at the poster here now. Even the poster sort of like throws back to the old horror films of the 50s and 60s, like, you know, the schlocky B movie stuff, like, you know.
Yes.
And kind of had it leaned into that more, it probably would have been a bit more enjoyable. But like I said, it was too focused on being odd for being odd's sake, like, you know, or odd for being odd. Odd, yeah, you know what I'm trying to say. But odd for,
I think as well,
odd for the sake of it.
A lot of these films are, I mean, when you look at trailers for some of these films, I mean, they are completely just not what the film is about. And I think for some of, especially any film recently made with Bill Murray, he has not done like an actual proper comedy in a long time, but he's always in a lot of trailers. They kind of put like one or two really funny, that they just happen to be funny scenes in trailers. And it's like, oh, wow, this looks hilarious. And then it's like a 2 hour, quite a drama driven film, and you're like, where
and those the bits funny Bill Murray funny bits in it, like,
so it's kind of one of those things as well, I think too, that like definitely the marketing has a bit of play into sort of the reaction I think some of these films get, or the expectation rather than the it can kind of be built up to be like, oh wow, this is like just this mad ensemble, and then it's like, oh, I think what's your man's name who directed the, or he's directed, I don't know if it's out in Ireland yet, the French Connection, or sorry, not the French Connection, the French Dispatch, or the, what the fuck are we talking about? The is it not the, you know, he's the like the big the Fantastic Mr. Fox, that director.
Oh, Wes Anderson.
Yes.
Is that who you're talking about? Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's like another massive ensemble cast with big players, director. And he uses very similar actors in all of his films. Like, I saw this graph recently of like literally just like very famous actors. And then it had like, you know, how many Wes Anderson movies they had actually been in. And it was very good. But yeah, so, but I think he kind of, I don't know, maybe it's just, I just prefer his movies. But Jim Jarmusch does use the same kind of actors and big ensemble cast as well in his. So it's just, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say Bill Murray's the big connecting dot there, isn't he? Because Bill Murray's in all of Wes Anderson stuff as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I find it just a very convincing theory online that all of Wes Anderson's films are set in the same universe. Apparently, like, the star of one film is the kid in this other film.
Okay.
It's a big thing. You should look it up.
So Fantastic Mr. Fox is, how is that?
We don't care. I don't think that's in the theory.
It's just not that. That's just not part of the fan theory. Okay.
Or maybe it is. Stop motion.
Maybe it is, but they're the...
Maybe, we don't know. Yeah.
That's how the animals are in Wes Anderson's world.
Maybe.
You know,
maybe. Well, and the thing with the dogs and the dog island, yeah, that's not connected either.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, fair enough.
I don't know what it's called.
So, you hated it, that's fine, not gonna take it personally at all. Fuck you. great. Well, let's go on to my what was my other choice?
I've actually totally forgotten what I gave you, because it's been a while.
You gave me Happy Death Day or From Hell.
Oh yes.
And I chose From Hell.
Yay.
Sounds so excited.
I mean, yay.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So if you're like, oh, that sounds familiar, but I can't remember what it's about, Holly, well, don't worry don't worry, guys, I've got
you. Holly's got you covered.
So From Hell is a 2001 movie 20 years old.
I know. That's grim, isn't it? 2001 20 years ago.
Just, yeah, let that rest there.
Like, in my mind, 1990 is still 10 years ago.
Yeah, I know.
Because I was thinking of World Cup in 1990. That was only 10 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well done, Ro.
Yeah, I know. I'm so old. Anyway, so 20 years ago, this film came out.
Looks well, I have to say. Obviously, the big notable thing is just that, like, Johnny Depp looks, you know, like he's just done What's Eating Gilbert Grape, as opposed to, you know, bloated, you know,
drinking his body weight in alcohol.
It's directed by the Hughes brothers, so they're the twins who directed Menace to Society and Dead Presidents in the 90s. And sure, the Book of Eli as well. And
have you seen that? The Book of Eli.
I'm pretty sure. I think I have seen the Book of Eli.
Very, very good.
Denzel really Washington, good. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, but in 2005, then the twins went their separate way. So
they did.
Dramarama. There. Yes. I don't know what else.
We can only speculate as to what happened.
Exactly. Exactly. So in the movie, we kind of meet the sex worker, Mary Kelly. She's played by Heather Graham, and she's got this really fake dyed red hair, and she's got this terrible Cockney accent, pretty much like this, isn't it?
I'm not gonna lie, I forgot she was in this.
Yeah,
I know she's a pretty prominent role, but I actually forgot it was Heather Graham with a shit Irish accent or the English accent.
She's a terrible English accent, yeah. And it actually, it's almost so terrible, and you're just like, could you not have just gotten an English actress to do this? Because, like, I know, what I mean? I just don't understand why American films do that. If it's like, in fairness to Johnny Depp, he does an absolute amazing English accent. I'm not English, but from what it sounds like,
it's pretty spot on.
It's pretty good. And
it's convincing enough.
He does an excellent Irish accent, actually. Do you know the film Chocolat? And it has he's an Irish traveler in that, but he pretty much plays like he pretty much has like a sort of an Irish country, generic kind of Irish country accent, but it's actually amazing. It was the first Irish accent I had seen by an American going, like, actually, that's pretty spot on. Okay, so we meet Heather Graham. So she's a sex worker, Mary Kelly. And then we meet her kind of group of friends who are also sex workers as well. And they're just basically living out a terrible existence in London in 1888. So that's when all of these murders in Whitechapel start happening. So one of her friends, you just basically see her getting taken away and then obviously stabbed and God knows what else, because all of these murders are really disgusting. But actually, a lot of the violence in this movie is literally done in the shadows. So it's almost kind of like, I guess, true to the truth. True story, as in, you know, because people didn't really know how things were done, and obviously there wasn't any forensic stuff back then, so everything is very speculative into what actual, you know, how things were done anyway. So one of Heather Graham's sex worker friends was stabbed and killed. And then we meet the Whitechapel Police Department. So that's when we first get to see Johnny Depp playing Aberline. And he is the police inspector in charge of the case. So well, at the beginning, it's just the one murder. And then it's then basically Heather Graham's group of sex worker friends are slowly, literally kind of getting murdered one by one. Mm. And this is true to the case of Jack the Ripper as well. There was, you know, there were just kind of women around that area. So, you know, even though not like, there's not like tons and tons out there about like all of them, but there is obviously there was a link there because they were all in working the one area, so they would have most probably known each other. And so Johnny Depp's character is Police Inspector Aberline. He's gets intrigued by these cases, and we also meet Robbie Coltrane's character, who's Sergeant Peter Godley, and they basically team up. Coltrane and Depp basically kind of team up and kind of try and solve this, because all the powers that be just appear to be like, oh, they're prostitutes, you know, whatever. We've got like more important things to do. We don't want to be making a scandal out of this, yada yada. Mm. So just the way some of
foot.
Yeah, exactly. So just the way some of the stabbings, and then obviously like there's removal of organs and stuff. So Johnny Depp goes and visits Sir William Gull, who's played by Ian Holm. And he's the chief physician to the royal family. So he's like obviously very knowledgeable about anatomy and stuff. And this is the time where like lobotomies and, you know, science and medicine is like really getting started. So Johnny Depp goes to him and just kind of tries to like see, you know, would a normal person be able to do this, or, you know, all those kind of stuff. And then he finds out that William Gull is a Freemason, and as more murders start to happen, Depp then suspects there's Freemason activity to do with the crime, because there's certain things and little kind of elements in the murders that he's like, oh, that might be like something to do with that. But yeah, then basically in this story, the Hughes brothers have decided that Sir William Gull is actually Jack the Ripper. And yeah. In the story that, I'm like totally all over the place. So William Gull, who's like Ian Holm, who's the chief physician, he is blamed, and, you know, they say that he's Jack the Ripper, and they give him a lobotomy and they send him to an actual institution to live out the remaining of his days. And that's it. Short and sweet, with the ending given away as well. So just to let you know. Yeah. But it was interesting.
Yeah, spoiler alert. A bit late.
Oh yeah, spoiler. Well, it's 2000, it's a 20-year-old film. So I'm like, but the thing is, though, it's actually interesting, though, all the little nooks and crannies in this film, because I mean, obviously it's a story, you know, like it's an old story, but it's still a crime that's, you know, people are really interested in.
And even unsolved. Up
to this day. And unsolved. Yeah. Exactly. So it was interesting that they've pinned it on William Gull. So I went looking. And
you done a little detective work yourself, did you?
Yeah. And so Johnny Depp's character, Frederick Aberline, is actually the real guy. He's the real like police inspector that was looking after the investigation. And William Gull is the real chief physician to the royal family as well. But when I looked into William Gull's actual real life, it's not him exact, though people think that it is him. Because obviously he has all that medical like knowledge, and you know, because there are people who thought like, oh, maybe it was, I mean, even in the movie, there were people that were like, oh, it's a butcher, like butcher or you know, some kind of craftsman or whatever, because like
he was very efficient with the blade, no?
Yeah, but then like, you know, where are all the different organs? Like, you wouldn't know that. So they were like, it has to be some kind of doctor or some kind of person with medical training. So then in, where is it? In 1970, so there's this guy, Thomas Stowell, and he published an article in The Criminologist entitled Jack the Ripper, A Solution? ? And Stowell was a junior in college. I'm getting this from Wikipedia, this bit. He was a junior in college to Dr. Theodore Dyke Ackland. So Dr. Theodore Dyke Ackland is actually Gull's son-in-law. And he alleges that one of Gull's patients was the Whitechapel murderer. And he refers to the killer as S throughout the article without ever identifying him. But the identity of S is widely presumed to be Prince Albert Victor, Duke of Clarence and Avondale. Who was Queen Victoria's grandson and obviously heir to the throne. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, I saw an article and all that sort of stuff and read it in school, like, you know, that it was always heavily implied that it was a member of the royal family who had gotten away with it, essentially.
Yeah, because so Prince Albert had caught syphilis while touring the world, and then that was thought to bring on sort of the insanity which led to the murders. But I mean, you don't know if that one led to the other, you can only speculate. But because so the prince was placed in a private mental institution and then he escaped, which actually had the same timeline as the most brutal murder of Mary Jane Kelly. And then he died after that because of some kind of pneumonia. But so like time wise and all of that, it kind of checks out with Prince Albert. So there you go.
There you go.
Yeah, we've solved it, guys. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Don't even worry about it.
Don't even worry about it. I looked at this 5 minutes before we recorded, and I think I'm right. So
I think you cracked it.
Thank you.
So what did you think of the film itself? It's like, you know, your sleuthing skills.
Yeah, exactly. Well, because I really love like a good crime I was into it. But so basically Johnny Depp's character and Mary Kelly get together, and I don't know, I just kind of like, I sort of felt like that was unrealistic. Turns out that was actually a real thing and they did actually get together, but I just kind of, I thought it could have definitely been about half an hour shorter. How long was this? Does it say on IMDb? Because it was
just over 2 hours.
Yeah, I just felt it was very long when I was watching it. I think I might have even I could have even paused it or something, but I just felt it was very long. But I did enjoy it, and it was an interesting watch, even though it was actually quite difficult to watch in some parts, because even though there is some violence that is literally in darkness, in the shadows, there's still a lot that is open, and it's just like, oh God, you know,
yeah, it's kind of like,
yeah, it is. It's actually very gruesome. And even if it's not, even if it's in and it's out of sight, you can still hear. So it's probably just more gruesome because of that.
Yeah.
Which is a good,
you're imagining the worst. Yeah.
It's a good sort of skill to have for a low budget, because, you know, that's much easier to produce than a visual effect.
In terms of the look, like, because it's based on a graphic novel by Alan Moore, another Alan Moore graphic novel.
He was
responsible for Watchmen, and which we covered in a previous episode. But in terms of the look, the Hughes Brothers definitely took huge inspiration from the book, because the way the panels are drawn in the book could be like storyboards for the film. Like, it's that similar, like. So they definitely took the source material. Like,
I didn't really feel like I was watching a graphic novel, though.
That's the thing with Alan Moore, though. He always does these real, you know, obscure kind of stories and turns them into graphic novels, like stuff that you wouldn't normally think of as comic books or graphic novels. He sort of, that's his sort of forte, like, or was when he was making them.
I thought it was, it looked grand. I guess there were a few kind of cool scenes. It didn't strike me as anything visually like, oh wow, like that was so cool. Do you know? Because it, like, in fairness, it was pretty much a drama.
It's all darkness.
And there is, I guess probably that for the graphic novel, in fairness, in terms of like the shadow, what you see in the shadows and what you see kind of out and about in the light.
Indeed. It's not scary if it's broad daylight, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, no, it's definitely, it actually is worth a watch. I hadn't seen it before, and I would, if anyone kind of is interested in a bit of Jack the Ripper story, it's definitely like interesting in that aspect as well. So yeah. And yeah, like that's the thing. It's not like I'm giving away a spoiler by saying the ending, but it's
an intriguing watch nonetheless. And I think everyone knows that the Jack the Ripper thing finishes up anyway. So.
Yeah.
But it's a good watch, and it's on the Netflix.
It is on Netflix. Oh no, it's not. No, actually, it's on Disney.
Oh, that's right, Disney. Sorry, yeah.
It's on Disney. Right. Yeah. Because I was going around through them, and I was like, and then I was like, oh no, it's on Disney. Or I'm pretty sure it's probably on other platforms. It might be on other things as well.
No, I think it's Disney only, because it's a Fox film, and they own Fox, and Disney are pretty...
stringent.
They're really cagey about that sort of stuff.
But there are certain things that are on other platforms.
There are certain things that are doubling over because they would have had agreements with the studio before Disney took over.
Yeah. Oh, fair enough. Yeah.
But that wraps up our Halloween season. Yes,
definitely.
Yeah.
And we're going to be doing our Christmas films from now for the next 12 weeks. So everyone strap in and enjoy
Elf.
It's going to be Elf for 12 weeks. We're going to go deep. We're going to go deep into the theory around Elf, the making. We'll try and get some Elf.
We'll go into the fan theory that Elf, Will Ferrell is actually just a crackhead who imagined the whole film.
Is that a fan theory?
No, I just made that up.
Oh, that would actually be a well-believable fan theory, though.
Yeah. It's got legs, I know.
fake news. You've heard it here first, everyone. You've heard it here first.
Nice. I'm so gonna flesh that one out. Really.
Just start tweeting it, and then just be like, and then just like watch it, bro. Because people will be what people will be like hashtagging elf, and then, you know, then you're just like putting that, stoking that fire.
Yeah, and the scene where he's like going around New York, like eating chewing gum off the sidewalk and all, he like makes perfect sense now. You know, he's a crackhead.
Does.
Like,
there
you go.
And then like working in the post room, because like, you know, he might have, that might actually be his job. And then
there you go. And then like, you know, just telling some random rich dude, "You're my dad." Crackhead behavior that is, like, you know.
It is. It's fair. Yeah, that's true. Oh my god. No, but we will have maybe some like thrillers or something next week.
Yeah, we gotta change it up for no more scary films ever. No. I'm sick of them. I'm done.
Yeah.
Done until the next Halloween at the very least. So
yeah. Or maybe the new year or something. But,
the new year, yeah. Have a scary new year, that sort of thing. Like, yeah.
Maybe, I don't know. Yeah, cool. But I think we will do our films for each other offline, and then so it'll be a major surprise for you guys listening next week.
Indeed it will.
Cool. Well, sure. Be sure to drop us a message if you want to suggest any films or TV shows at whydidyoupodcast@gmail.com or on Instagram at whydidyoupodcast. And yeah, that's about it. So have a great week, everybody.
All right. Talk to you later, guys.
Bye.
Bye.